Thanks again for having us for Ask the Mayor November already.
You're welcome. It's a beautiful sunny day in Columbus, as it always is, so we're glad to see you again.
It is. Why is it that? Every time I come here, it's sunny and beautiful. It's always that way, right?
It's Columbus. Yeah.
Now, last time we talked, I asked what was the top of your priority, and you said, well, it was the city budget. But that has passed, and you've moved on. Are you happy?
Right.
This is your first budget as mayor.
Yes.
Are you happy with it?
Yeah. We were able to do several things that... we've been able to put in the budget several items that are important to us. We provide for a 1.5% increase to our employees. The rate of inflation in America is running about there. I mean, if you take a look at the CPI over the last 12 months, it's about 1.5%. So I think we got that about right. We've made provision for a salary survey. You know, if you sort of followed what's happened at Bartholomew County, you know, they in a few of their areas got a little behind where the market was, in IT in particular. And so we don't want that to happen to us, so we're going to commission a salary survey, or compensation study, maybe is a better phrase for it, that will happen in 2017. We've identified a few fire stations that need some repair work. You know, we've got, most of our fire stations are architecturally significant, but sometimes along with that comes a roof that maybe isn't as structurally sound as it ought to be. So what we've identified are the stations, or sort of put them in order, the stations that are the most deserving or the most needy, and we're going to address station one this next year, 2017. And I want to say it's a couple hundred grand that we'll have to spend there to fix the roof and some of the sidewall issues. We've also put in the budget an opportunity for a training facility. The fire department has asked us for some money to establish a training facility out at the airport. This will allow us to avoid having to send our firefighters elsewhere to get the training that they need, and will give us an opportunity to bring firefighters in. So maybe even a little revenue enhancement will come with that. So yeah, I feel pretty good about it.
I wanted to ask about there was a petition from some residents that said that some of the numbers were misleading, but saw the last council meeting, you made a statement about the predecessor, the former Mayor Brown, and her supporters asking them to move on.
Yeah, I thought the objection was frivolous. I mean, we're all familiar with the concept of a frivolous lawsuit where somebody sues you just because they can, and you're required to spend a fair amount of time and sometimes some money, you know, to defend yourself. And I felt like they'd sort of put us in that position where, you know, the claims that they made and their objection really were not on point with respect to the statute that they were trying to file under. And then secondly, just were pretty easily dismissed. So I thought it was just, you know, politics as usual in a small town, and we ought to, you know, just shed a little light on that. So it's sort of what it did.
Right. And I was surprised you made that statement, but it just sounded like you were just, it just kind of reached a breaking point and you just want to move on. is that going to happen now?
I don't know, you know, but part of openness and transparency is shedding the light on everything that goes on in government, and this is just part of it.
I see there's a resolution to increase the number of liquor licenses within the Riverfront District, and we've talked about the Riverfront District before. So just because we haven't talked about this yet, and I know this has been in the works already, I take it that the city's liquor license limit was lower than what is allowed by state. So it's not that you're moving them around, but you're adding some, but you're still not to the point where you're at a maximum.
Correct. When it comes to a couple things to keep in mind. One is that when it comes to Riverfront licenses, there is no maximum. You know, we're allowed to issue as many, the state allows us, the state of Indiana allows us to issue as many as we want. Internally, within the city of Columbus, we had authorized 10, and now we're going to go to 15 in anticipation that there will be continued demand for those. Another thing to consider, too, is that when we talk about riverfront, we really don't mean right on the river. I mean, it's really where the developable land starts, you know, back away from the river. So if you're familiar with the topography in Columbus and you're thinking, say, about Mill Race Park, it really starts about where the railroad track is, you know, not down there by the river. Starts there at the railroad track or Lindsay Street, and then goes 1,500 feet into the city. And so, you know, those liquor licenses would be used in that area, primarily downtown. And we sort of think it's a good thing. I mean, it indicates that there's increasing demand for that kind of a retail establishment, you know, a bistro, wherever you want to phrase it. So we're glad to be able to consider that, yeah.
I see, of course, we do this show on a Tuesday night, or on Tuesday, and the show airs Wednesday morning. So there's a Gateway Senior Village proposing a 54-unit development and what was the Golden Casting Foundry site, and it's affordable senior living. Is that in high demand in this?
Yes, it is. I mean, there's two or three things going on there. One is the the old industrial park in Columbus that would have been developed back in, say, the 1920s, was in this area where Golden Foundry was, and the city more or less grew around it. So you end up with an historical industrial park that becomes the center of the city. You know, it really wasn't the plan, but because of the way the city grew, you know, it went around that. The foundry was no longer economically viable. Plus, it's a tough place to put a foundry. It's a pretty dirty activity. So the foundry was torn down and salvaged many, many years ago. Now we've got an opportunity here to convert the land use from something that was heavy industrial to what we really need, which is residential. And in particular, residential housing for seniors. Columbus, it's a good and bad thing. I mean, you know, the housing market here in Columbus is expensive. I mean, we typically rank in the top five in Indiana with respect to affordability or the cost of housing. And sometimes the supply, you know, isn't what you would like. Sometimes it can take a little while to find what you're looking for. So we think that anything that helps add to the quantity of the supply, and particularly it's priced for low-income seniors, is worthwhile. So that the resolution is just to make some design changes to allow that to happen, so we facilitate the development.
Last time you mentioned work being done on the former Walesboro Airport, and I know you're waiting for new flood maps.
Right.
Is that project, because that's an area you're looking for economic development?
Correct. You know, our city is just about out of available land. I mean, we've got a few 20-acre sites and a few smaller ones. And so if somebody comes to us and they say they'd like to have 40 or 50 acres, we're a little hard-pressed to put that together. Furthermore, they'll ask for what they call shovel-ready land, which means that, you know, the development is facilitated because some work has gone on previous to make it ready. Part of the issue we dealt with at Walesboro is that a few years ago, the Federal Emergency Management Association, FEMA, they bought some software and used that to redraw their flood maps. And based on what that software did, what ground we have at Walesboro that had not previously been in a floodplain now was in a floodplain. And so what we've tried to do is to get to the Department of Natural Resources in Indiana, which uses the FEMA protocol, you know, to sit down with them and say, you know, let's take another look at this and see if we can't get an answer that's a little bit closer to right. Because at the end of the day, none of us really believe that ground is in a floodplain. I mean, in 2008, which is the watershed year, not to make a pun, but this sort of the high water mark again, keep going back to those, but it didn't flood in 08. And so if it didn't flood in 08, it's not going to flood, and we just want the maps to reflect that so that it makes it a little bit easier for us to develop the ground.
I see where the Columbus Municipal Airport, speaking of airports, was named the best in the state.
It was.
So how does one get ranked first in the state?
Well, you hire some good people. I mean, it, seriously, we have a great facility out there. I mean, the runways are nice and long and wide, so it facilitates the landing of large airplanes. We do a lot of military activity, training activity in and out. We've got a number of planes now that stop for refueling, and we've got a pretty active board that just manages the airport well. We put all the available ground to use, either as crop production, or we rent to hangar space, or we rent to businesses that, you know, want to have a building that's nearby an airport. Plus, I think we've got some pretty good managers out there. Brian Payne has done a really fine job for us. I think he's in his third or fourth year, if I remember correctly, and just manages the airport well. And I was happy to see that reflected with the award.
Haven't heard much about the human rights lawsuit. It was filed against Columbus, Bloomington, Carmel, Indianapolis, and I think it was pushed back. There was supposed to be a hearing.
The hearing's tomorrow.
It's tomorrow.
Yeah, the hearing's tomorrow, November 2nd, and it'll be in Noblesville. So I plan to go up there along with our city attorney and a few others. And yes, we'll be there with the cities of Carmel, Bloomington, and Indianapolis. Not really too sure just exactly what the format of the day will be, but I'm just interested in trying to see how this unfolds. As I think I'd mentioned earlier, we intend to defend ourselves. We think that our human rights ordinance is appropriate and completely not only lawful but fair, And I think, you know, it's telling that 20 or so other Indiana communities have adopted similar kinds of ordinances. So, I mean, we're not alone in this issue. And so I just look forward to seeing how that unfolds. And yeah, it's a little bit of tenseness. You know, anytime you get called in front of a judge, you know, you really wonder, you know, how this is going to unfold. But yeah, tomorrow's the day, and we'll be up there at 9 o'clock, see how it proceeds.
Wanted to touch base too on the railroad study. It's been a couple months now since that came out, and I would guess that you're starting to maybe filter through more of those details of that. Mm-hmm. Have you found anything more out on that, or still kind of just, I mean, the long-term project, keep moving forward, huh?
Right. We've completed the traffic study portion, and part of what you're trying to do when you do that is to develop a grade for the intersections. And so we've really got two intersections or two points pretty close together there. You've got the railroad crossing where the railroad and 46, or I guess actually it's 46 that crosses the railroad. And then just you know, a few feet to the east, you've got the intersection of State Road 46 and State Road 11. And part of what you're trying to do is to assign a letter grade to those that fits within the nomenclature that the Indiana Department of Transportation uses. And depending upon the time of day, obviously the traffic volume that you get, you'll get a rating out there that'll be a C, D, E, and occasionally an F. And that's what it's going to take to get their attention. Because what we want to be able to show them is that, you know, although there may be other communities in Indiana that have been talking to you for some time about road improvements that they would like, we need to jump to the head of the line because of, you know, something that we didn't cause. I mean, you know, this railroad improvement that's coming our way is going to severely impact transportation in and out of Columbus. We have relatively few grade crossings. The one there at 46 and 11 is more like a funnel, you know, in terms of attracting traffic from the west side of town and trying to get it into downtown, get it to the schools, get it to the hospital, places of employment. And so, so yeah, we've been spending a fair amount of time trying to develop the traffic model that will be recognized by NDOT as indicative of an intersection or a group of intersections that have a problem. So that's where we are today. We feel like we've got that put together. We've got a meeting scheduled with NDOT. I'm trying to recall if it's this week or next week, but you know, we'll begin to press our case in terms of trying to get their assistance to build, you know, something that will alleviate the traffic constraints that we know are coming.
Speaking of construction, I see State Street. Its
yes.
Construction is underway. Any motorists that need to be aware of delays or anything like that?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be too bad. I mean, most of the construction work that we're going to do is actually on the outside of the bridge. You know, we'll be adding a pedestrian lane on the south side that's about 6 feet wide and a pedestrian and bicycle lane on the north side that should be around 10 feet wide. What the motorists will notice is NDOT is going to do an overlay project on State Street that will include the State Street Bridge. So there will be some traffic restrictions, but it'll primarily be associated with the overlay project. Yeah, but that's, you know, that project's underway, and I'm hopeful that we can get that, I'd like to see it done before the end of the year, but you know, it'll get done when it gets done.
Well, and then finally, a week from today, I think it's a big day. Election
right.
Day is finally here.
Yeah.
Are you ready for the election to be over?
Oh, yeah, without question.
And you're not even in the election.
I'm not a participant in this one. Yeah, I get to sit this one out. But you know, I've known Mike Pence for a number of years. And so the thought that we could have a vice president from Columbus, you know, another hometown boy, just a few feet from the Oval Office. That's pretty exciting. So yeah, we look forward to the election, see what happens.
Do you find yourself conflicted at all with all the stuff that's going on with Donald Trump, but then knowing that you have a backyard neighbor running for vice presidential candidate?
Well, you know, you can't agree with everybody all the time. And frankly, I mean, you know, Mike Pence and I don't agree. I mean, the Republican Party is a big tent that has got that number of folks in it. And we agree on more often than we don't, so that's why we're both Republicans. And so I just look forward to it being over and being able to watch something else on CNN and, you know, Fox News and the others. Yeah.